In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
So there's this professor of theology at this Methodist seminary, Duke Theological School. His name's L. Gregory Jones, and he tells the story of the Sunday he came to preach at the Episcopal Church. And they asked him to give his sermon title in advance. And so he wrote them and gave it to them. And the gospel on which he preached is the same gospel we heard today. And Sunday morning came, and Professor Jones sat up front, robed and ready to preach. He was reading through the bulletin before the service began. He was running his eyes down that bulletin, and he came across the following introduction. This morning we welcome to our pulpit our guest speaker, His Holy Extravagance, L. Gregory Jones. Today our good news is rooted in Mary and her extravagant gift. So let's talk about extravagance for a moment. To be extravagant means to be unrestrained and excessive in our expenditure of something. So there was a fervor that sparked at a stewardship conference for clergy in recent years. And there was this group of pastors gathered to discuss the theme of generosity, and the presenter started talking about offering a gift directly to God. And the clergy started to yawn. And then he pulled out a $100 bill from his wallet, and he set it on fire. And he prayed, "Lord, I offer this gift to you and to you alone." And the reaction was electric. The clergy began to fidget in their chairs, watching the currency go up in smoke as if it were perfume. And one commented to another, "I think it's illegal to burn money." And another muttered, "If he's giving his money away, maybe he was going to give away a few more." This nervous laughter filled the room. And the speaker challenged the pastors, "Do you not understand? I'm offering it to God. And that means it is going to cease to be useful to the rest of us." It was an anxious moment. Mary of Bethany ups the ante on an extravagant gift offered to God in today's gospel. In the past days, she's seen her brother, Lazarus, sick and then die. She's grieved and mourned his death. And then she's taken her tears and seen them transformed into joy as Jesus raises him from the dead. And she has seen the core of Jesus' ministry. It's reckless and excessive in general. Turning water into copious amounts of wine is how he began. He fed 5,000 people from just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And then he raised her brother from the dead. Mary of Bethany is in the room with Lazarus, who's been the recipient of that extravagant grace. And she has a gift, too. She's bought half a pint of pure nard. It's rich and concentrated perfume that comes with a tremendous price tag. It's a $20,000 gift brought into the room by this woman who's seen her brother raised from the dead, whose sister is serving the meal. Not only does she enter the intimate space of dining men, a space where she doesn't belong unless she's serving them food, but then she pours out $20,000 of fragrance upon Jesus' feet. And she spreads it using the wild mop of her hair, punctuating the profusion of it all. You can imagine the murmurs in that room. We know the anxiety Judah expresses. "Well, you should have taken that money and given it to the poor. What a shame." the year's wages all over his feet. This was like a bonfire of 200 $100 bills in the middle of that intimate room. This was a pure offering to Jesus, the Son of God. This is the gift to the one who will in 6 days die himself. This is the gift that was meant to anoint him for burial, but only coming 6 days prematurely. And it's simply poured out, and then it's gone. So there are two ways to look at a gift. One is to think of it as if it's yours to offer. And one is as if it was never yours in the first place. So we've developed functional approaches to giving in the church. Some of us uphold the biblical standard of tithing, or giving 10% of our life and labor to the work of the church. Some members like earmarking their gifts, and some prefer giving for the impact of the gift. You can see plaques all around this space that tell that story. Well, imagine if you suddenly had a gift of $20,000, worth $20,000. And say you are someone who believes in giving a tithe. So there are two ways to view this kind of offering. One of them is if the money's landed in your lap, and you can certainly give away $2,000 of that gift. And the other is that it may have landed in your lap, but it's actually and always and will be in the care of God. And you've decided to give back $2,000 of it, but $18,000 is still a gift from God sitting in your lap. We can designate our offerings, our benevolences, but a true gift can never be earmarked or controlled. And Mary saw it all as a gift. Her brother raised from the dead. She recognized all of its temporary. And so she poured it out, all of it, in this extravagant act of gratitude for Jesus. William Carter, a Presbyterian pastor, expresses it this way. There are lots of extravagant gifts that are put into the air where they will soon evaporate. A church choir labors to prepare an intricate anthem, and in 3 minutes later, it is gone. The teacher prepares the lesson, stands to deliver, then the class is adjourned. Mourners provide large arrangements of flowers to honor those whom they grieve. Saints donate large amounts of money for congregations to spend as they will. Why do they do this? Love has its reasons. So when Mary pours out $20,000 of perfume upon Jesus' feet, and Judas criticizes the extravagance of the gift, Jesus simply replies by saying, "Leave her alone." Should we live our lives squandering everything? I actually don't think so. And can we justify wasting God's gifts? No, I actually don't think we really can. But before a gift can be wasted, it must be received. And in the receiving of God's extravagant love, we begin to understand more fully the pouring out of that love in return. Because it's compassion that begets compassion, and generosity that begets generosity. And the more we pour out, the more we begin to open ourselves to being filled up. Judas is complaining, but had he been giving that money to the poor in the first place? We either are generous or we are not. As we move toward the days of Holy Week, we discover that it is in giving that we receive, in pardoning that we're pardoned, that it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And we encounter ever more profoundly the way of Jesus, who endured the cross and the grave before he and we could know resurrection life. Oscar Wilde once wrote, "Where there is no extravagance, there is no love. And where there is no love, there is no understanding." So let us celebrate today her extravagant holiness, Mary of Bethany. And may we live lives of extravagance when it comes to offering ourselves, our lives, our time, our talent, our treasures, in the name of that love. Amen.